Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country, and well, here we are, Darius Rucker. It's been a while. Thanks for coming in to see us again.
Thank you for having me. It's been a minute, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. Does everybody know that you're basically British now? Is this a secret, or is everybody know
It's
this?
Not a secret, but, you know, I haven't been, like, yelling it from the butt. But, you know, it's not a secret. No, I just wanted to try something different.
Yeah.
And didn't really know where I was going to go. And I came here to start making a record. And after 2 weeks, I was like, I think we're just going to stay right here.
How long has it been now?
Oh, it's been over a month, almost 5-6 weeks.
Okay. And yeah. and is this a, like, temporary thing? Is this a permanent thing?
It's going to be years. Okay. I mean, I'll be here for a year. I plan to stay here for years.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Enjoy London.
You've always had a bit of, I mean, we've spoken many times, and it seems like you've always had a little bit of a love affair with the UK in general, whether it's, you know, from a kind of history standpoint or a career standpoint, professional standpoint, or, you know, I think the last time we spoke, you said, oh, just flew over and wrote with Ed Sheeran and then flew back. Like, it's always been a bit of a thing for you.
Oh, absolutely. I've loved it here. You know, we started coming here 30 years ago with Hootie, and I've loved it. Every time we came, I loved it. And then when I started in country, I said to my manager I wanted to try to build a fan base here. And so we came every other year, and it was just heaven for me, man. I loved it. And finally, I just really went to my label. I just want to go to England and make a record. They said, okay, and... Yeah, I came here and instantly I was like, yeah, I'm selling the place in Nashville, moving to London.
Wow, so you're serious about this?
Oh yeah.
Have you kind of deep dived into British culture? Like, are you watching Coronation Street or EastEnders or anything like that?
I've been watching EastEnders for 30 years.
Have
so,
you?
Yes, one of my goals in life is to be sitting at the Vic doing a scene. I just want to sit at the Vic when Alfie walks by. You know, that would be just awesome.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when I first moved here and started deep diving on stuff like that, I was obsessed with EastEnders. And then you know what I found super helpful? You know those like clip shows where they're like the 50 greatest sitcoms,
yes,
or the 50 greatest Christmas movies or all that? I found those so useful in understanding the culture because it covered stuff that people were obsessed with before I moved here.
Oh, absolutely.
And that wasn't necessarily part of the conversation.
That's crazy how, you know, once you really just immerse yourself in the culture, the things, the words you hear in the TV shows. Like, the TV shows I've watched,
yeah,
have been like, wow, you know, this, how could I not have seen this in America? You know, great. And it's just been one of those things where I just love it.
Like Naked Attraction, when you see that. Have you seen that where you're like, yeah, how is this a thing?
Yes.
How? You're like, nobody cares about their knees.
That's one of the ones that I went, wow, this is crazy. This is crazy.
And what about food? Have you kind of been like, oh, okay.
It's just a foodie town, man. I've been to some amazing restaurants since we've been here. It's a foodie town, you know, and every kind of restaurant you can think of. Like, we have this little Lebanese place across from where we live that's just a little mom pop little place, and I probably eat there 5 times a week. It's so good.
You got a permanent table now.
Oh, yeah. They love me. They love when
and
I see
Sunday
me
coming. Roast, you know, because we don't really do those in America, do we? But
yes,
here, you have to have one.
Yes. It is. I thought we served a lot of food on Sunday. I mean, a Sunday roast is really something special to be a part of.
And what is it? Is it chicken for you? Is it lamb? Is it pork? Is it veggie?
Whatever the chef is serving, I'm with all those.
You're
you know,
have it.
I'm with all those.
Extra Yorkshire, please.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
So not only are you living here, but you're going to, obviously, you know, now that you're here, easy for you to perform. So you've got a big old, not only do you have a big old tour coming up, but you're going to pop up at C2C as well.
Yeah, I'm doing the Songwriters Night at C2C and looking forward to that. I played the very first C2C.
Yes.
With Brad back in the day, and to see where it's come from since then. It's, you know, to watch it grow every year and become this really great festival that everybody in Nashville wants to come play. And, you know, so I was here and they asked me if I would want to do the Songwriter Night. And I was like, yeah, well, I'd love to do the Songwriter Night. And
yeah, you're like,
forward to it.
I'll hop on the tube.
Absolutely, man. I can play.
The tour takes in some other of my favorite cities around the UK. I wonder if they're yours as well. Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, Belfast as well.
I mean, those are the cities I love. You know, I got to go to Belfast for the first time last year. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I went to Belfast for the first time. You know, I've lived here for a long time, never been to Belfast. And I went for the first time at the end of last year. I loved it.
Every minute of it.
I didn't have 20,000 people screaming my name like you will, but I enjoyed it.
It's been, and I know Glasgow's such an amazing city.
Yeah.
You know, playing the O2 Arena here, that was just like, you know, a dream 10 years ago, you know, and here I am getting to do that. So it's pretty awesome.
You know, they always say Nashville's like a 10-year town. You know, you got to be in Nashville for 10 years before you make it and all that stuff. And I think that kind of applies to calling yourself like a Nashvillian as
yes.
well. And with London, I find, I don't know about you, but, you know, I find London is, you have to work a little bit harder to kind of crack it. But then once you crack it, you're
yes.
like, okay, they get me. I get this. I'm a Londoner. Do you feel like you're a Londoner now?
I feel like I'm getting there. It's okay. Exactly what you said. You know, you work a little harder doing, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, the train. You know, I lived in New York for 2 years and didn't take the subway once. You know, and here it's so easy and cool to do. And that's one of those things. You crack that stuff and then you start feeling more like, yeah, I live here.
Did you not take the subway in New York because you'd be recognized?
No, goodness, no. I just never wanted to get on the subway.
You just like, I never take it. I do not want to see a rat hoisting an entire
exactly.
pizza
Send
above
me
his
a
head.
Car.
I got you. But London is so spread out. Like
yes.
The tube is really the only way to go. I mean, you talk about, you know, going to the O2. You will have probably seen that a lot of people that headline the O2, you know, whether it's Dua Lipa or Rihanna, they will take the tube, or some of them will take a riverboat, just because it's so much, it's still not quick, but it's so much quicker than taking a car.
Yeah, traffic's pretty crazy sometimes.
Do you drive?
I don't drive. I ride. And I'm thinking about driving. It's something, you know, because I'm, like I said, I'm moving here for a long time. And I was like, I want to drive. But every time I'm on the road, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to do this.
I felt exactly the same way. But eventually my American license expired. So I didn't need to drive in London because, you know, but I needed to, when I went to Europe or on holiday, I needed to rent a car. So I needed to have a driver's license. And I had to take driver's lessons in central London as if I'd never driven before on the other side of the car, on the other side of the road, manual. And I mean, my Lord have mercy. That was one of the most stressful things I've ever done.
Yes. I know I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready for it.
Well, I've got a good driving instructor if you need it.
I will take you up on that.
You let me know. We've talked before about your support of new artists, and you've always been great about this. You know, whether it was, I think the last time we spoke, maybe it was on the phone, and right afterwards you sent me the song you did with Chapel Heart.
Yes.
Before it had come out. And we were talking about how wonderful they are. Who are you digging on at the moment?
Brittany Spencer is really,
yes.
She's really caught my eye. I think she's amazing. You know, Megan Maroney, I think she's awesome too. She did my Darius and Friends, and she was amazing. Her voice is just something that's crazy. It's always cool to, it's always guys coming up that you hear that you go, wow, you're 20.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote with her, you know, I think she's going to be huge. I love her voice and what she's writing. I think she's going to be big.
So while you've been in the UK, have you been, you know, we've talked about TV and food and stuff like that, but I saw you're getting into the theater as well. You were at Mamma Mia the other night,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, went to Mamma Mia. I went to Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
funny.
Amazing.
Really,
you know what I went to see last night? I went to see the George Michael tribute.
Oh,
and
yeah?
And that guy was amazing. I'm a huge George Michael fan.
Because that is a big voice to fill.
He sounded just like him. It was shocking. It was shocking. That was one of those, you know, America, you know, British music things. He sang four songs that everybody in there sang that I had never heard before.
Oh, really?
And I'm a huge George Michael fan. I was like, how did I not know this
song? Oh, so they would have been huge
here. They were huge
here
that didn't make it in the States. And
it's interesting, isn't it?
It was crazy.
Because I always think that nowadays, the way that we listen to music has changed so much, and the accessibility that we have
yes.
with music has changed so much. You know, like when I first moved here, to find country songs here and actually have access to play them, you know, it was a real trial and tribulation. Yeah. I'd be back home, hear something on the radio and be like, well, I don't know, I'm going to have to buy this now because I'm not going to be able to get it there.
Absolutely.
And so I always think that, you know, now the way that we listen to music, if something's a hit, it's a hit. But I've found that that's still not quite the case. You know, there's different sensibilities about how an artist, even a really big one, will release a certain song for the U.S. market, and then they'll think about what they're going to release for the U.K. Yeah. It's not always the case, but it's still a conversation that happens. Do you find yourself, now that you're kind of living here, you will more and more understand kind of what people here are like? Do you think that that's something that will affect, like, how you release stuff?
I think so. I think, you know, when I'm done with this next record, I think it'll be, definitely we'll look at what we think would work here, you know, before, and what we, you know, it might not be the same song we think would work in, you know, over the States.
There's something cool, though, about something becoming, it's because I'm American, but I always think there's something cool about something becoming big in the UK before it becomes big in America.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a kind of, you know, one of the reasons I came over here. You know, so many artists in the UK get big and then they go to America to conquer that land, you know. And I've managed to get a good following over here and, you know, play in the O2 and everything. That's cool. But nobody knows who I am over here. So it's like,
you know,
I'm the American artist coming over here now to try to impress some people. Yeah, exactly.
They definitely know who you are. They definitely know who you are. Biggest crowd you've ever played, was it, because I'm imagining you yourself as a solo artist and as Hootie, you played some big old things. But you joined Morgan Wallen in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that was like 100,000 people something, right? Is that the biggest?
Yeah, that's the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of.
When you get to that point, when you're kind of on a stage with that many people, what does your mind do? Like, because you can't take that in, I would imagine.
You're up there and you're looking out, and usually it's dark, and so, you know. But then every now and then it'll get light enough where you can see the whole stadium, and you're really going, wow, this concert just started a whole new little town.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little town right there.
It's quite a big town.
A big town, actually, right there, in the stadium. You know, and that's crazy to think about, that music does that to people. You can get that many people together at one time to hear. You know, but Morgan's so incredible. What he's doing is great.
And you know that area quite well because, you know, we've talked before. I'm from just down the road in Bristol, and you've played some very small and dodgy clubs along the interstate between Bristol and Knoxville. That stadium is so iconic. Did you take it one step at a time, like in terms of like when you were playing some of those little clubs and bars that, you know, my mother always told me not to go to after dark, that we discovered were the best place to go after dark? And were you one of these guys that you always had this? Because you talk to some people and they've got a big plan, you know. They know they're going to end up, say, playing for 100,000 people. And some people are just taking it step by step, and it's just about the art. Where were you on that spectrum?
We were step by step.
Yeah?
You know, even when we got our first record deal, our only thought was, God, please let them let us make another record. You know, we hope we sell enough so they'll let us make another one. And it was, for us, our egos were never big enough to know that we were going to make it, especially in the place where we were starting. You know, grunge was so big.
Yeah.
And we had been a band for 8 years and, you know, nothing. And we didn't know, but once it started, it was obvious.
Yeah.
You know, you could see the change. You know, after the Letterman show, you could just see it.
It sounds like you now don't think it's going to stop. And I'm asking that in a way that, like, sometimes I think when you come, whether it's financially, you come from, you know, nothing, or whether you start out kind of artistically and building it brick by brick, there's sometimes I think it's a human tendency to think, oh, this could just all go away, or this next one, it might not work. And it sounds like that you are in this really wonderful position of being like, no, I got this. We're good.
Oh, I definitely feel like, no, I got this. I mean, because, you know, you get lucky sometimes. You get to the place where, you know, you don't have to have a hit. You can go play music, and it's going to be sold out every night you do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm lucky enough to be able to go out and play the shows I play, and we know they're going to be sold out, and it's going to be great. And, you know, that's something, especially with country music fans, that's something you keep for a long time in your career. You know, I don't know if I'm ever going to have another radio hit, but, you know, I know that I'm going to keep trying to put out great songs and see what happens. And who knows? Well, I might have one or two more, and that's great.
I reckon you will. I reckon you will. But, you know, like, even, like, I was talking to Dolly Parton, and we're from the same area and grew up very similarly, very poor, kind of rural. And she was saying that she always kind of felt like she could end up poor again, which is why she worked so hard. And I was like, Dolly Parton, your face is literally on money at Dollywood. How can you feel like that? But I get it. And so that's kind of where my question was coming from. You know, like, I think we're all like human. And when you've worked so hard to make something happen, it must be so rewarding to get to a point where you know that you're going to be okay regardless.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's a wonderful thing.
But my biggest fear is still that I'm going to be broke again someday.
Is it?
You know, I'd be poor again. Absolutely.
Because you see, I mean, you see it happen to so many people, see, I suppose, right? So it makes you think about things a little bit differently.
Absolutely. No matter what the number is you have, you've seen it happen to so many people with a lot more. And that's scary, man. I mean, I don't ever want to, I mean, I always say I would live my childhood again because I would. Mm. I mean, it was fun. You didn't think about you. I didn't know I was poor until I had money. You know, we didn't eat and stuff like that, but you didn't think about that. That was just part of life.
Oh, no, I know.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, but getting to where you're successful and you can take care of your family and you can take care of your sisters and your brothers and your nieces and nephews, and that feels good. And you always have a fear that I'm going to extend myself too far and I'm going to end up, you know, back there again. So.
Well, I think, you know, probably moving to the most expensive city in the world probably wasn't helpful in that regard. But we're glad you're here.
Absolutely. That didn't help us, did it?
Just before I let you go, you have been, you're doing loads of songwriting while you're here.
Oh, yeah.
With British artists, I've heard. Some of our favorite British
all
artists.
All British.
All of them.
Some guys that have written some amazing songs. Yeah, you know. Not just country songs either, you know.
Yeah.
Guys have written huge songs for One Direction and it's been great. I mean, the sense of their sense of songwriting is just different than the Nashville thing.
That's what I was going to say. Like, they help you come to it at a different
totally
angle.
Different angle. Totally, you know. And you know, like I said the other day, we've written like 8 songs and we haven't mentioned trucks once. You know, no one's even said the word truck in the room. You know, that's kind of crazy when you're like,
that is actually, I mean, obviously it's a stereotype, but it's a stereotype for a reason.
For a reason.
I say that a lot. You know, like, I think it was a show this morning or yesterday, I realized, like, I was the third truck song in 3 hours that I'd played. They're all fantastic.
Sure. They're great songs.
But it was the third truck song that I'd played. So it must be interesting to, like, have different references. And you will be, obviously, every day gaining different references as well, just from living here.
Oh yeah, and it was great. We were writing a song about kind of like a song about slogans. You know, like the first one is "Feed the World" was what we said, and then we needed one more at the end, and they said this British slogan that I'd never heard before. I was like, "We're going with that."
Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what it was. Stay calm and
carry on.
Carry on.
Stay calm and carry on. You mentioned truck. Have you learned all the different words for the different parts of a car?
No, I have not.
So you don't know what you would call a hood?
No, what's a hood?
Bonnet.
I've heard that before, but I didn't know.
Yeah. All right.
I heard it on Peaky Blinders, actually.
Windshield.
What do you call that?
Windscreen. What else is different?
Trunk.
Oh, yeah, the trunk.
What's the trunk?
Boot.
That's the boot.
Y'all call it the boot?
The boot.
Why?
Because it's the boot. Put it in the boot.
Opens up.
Right.
Glove compartment, glove box.
Glove box.
This is all coming to you.
Yeah, y'all, yeah. I'm going to learn them all.
Yeah, and you don't say pants anymore, do you?
Yeah, but what am I supposed to say? Trousers.
Darius Rucker.
What, trousers, right?
Oh, yeah, you say trousers. But you know if you say pants.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it anymore.
That's your underwear.
Yeah, trousers. Is that your underwear?
Pants.
See,
your
now
underwear.
I know that. I have trousers.
Yeah.
Even when you talk about jeans, you just say trousers?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can say jeans.
Okay.
You can say jeans. Yeah. Just don't say pants.
All right.
Hey, you're hosting some shows for us here.
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, now that you could be a radio.
I'm
you
ready,
could be a
man.
Radio. You said you were worried about not having another radio hit. You know what? If you're doing the show,
you just can play it all you want.
Yes. Have you done any radio
I'm going to go cut
like
a song
that?
Just so I can play it when I do the show.
Have you hosted radio shows before?
I have.
Oh, so
States.
You're an old hand at this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, don't be too good.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. I want to be too good, then, y'all, because, hey, you want a job for a little while? Yeah, yeah.
Not my job.
No, definitely not your job.
Come on,
we can be the new team. Afternoon drive.
Oh, there we go with Darius and Balin.
Afternoon drive.
See, I put you first.
Exactly. See?
I know we're...
No, Balin and Darius sounds better, though. I'm with...
Listen, we'll have our agents fight it out, shall we?
All right.
Hey, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you for having me, man.
And I hope that we see you a lot more now that you're a local boy.
You will. You'll see me. You'll definitely see me at all the shows, and we should go to dinner, man.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'll show you my side of London.
I love it.
Darius Rucker, we'll see you real soon.
See you guys.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.